Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Family Gamers Podcast. We are here with a special guest, Rory O'Connor of Rory's Story Cubes and the Creativity Hub.
Hello, Rory.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are great. How are you doing today?
Good. It's actually one of those rare sunny days in Belfast. It's like summer has actually arrived.
Well, for us, it's rainy and miserable, so we gave it to you, but we're happy to do that. I know you don't get too many of those nice days, so.
No, I need to lap it up when the opportunity arises.
Put it in a bottle. So we wanted to have you on the show because you guys have been doing some really great stuff with the Creativity Hub. I want to talk about Extraordinaires a little bit, and then obviously we'll talk about Rory's Theory Cubes. But the big thing, the big news these days, is that the Creativity Hub has just launched a new Kickstarter.
Yes, so we've launched Untold Adventures Await, and basically, excuse me, it's a totally customizable storytelling game where the players are the heroes in their own adventure series. And the great thing is it's powered by Rory's Story Cube, so there is a kind of thread that runs through it. Mm-hmm. So a really simple game, plays in 60 minutes, and it really works with all ages, like from kind of 7-year-olds and up. So it can act as like a light RPG for people who are experienced with role-playing, but really it's kind of like my first role-playing game for people who know nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And we've taken the idea of TV shows as the jump-off point because the timing and everything is... There's a certain kind of story that's told in 60 minutes, and that's what we've tried to capture, a really clear... adventure story structure that allows anyone to play through it and have a whale of a time as they do so.
So one of the interesting things about Untold is that Untold is being published by your company, the Creativity Hub, and everybody knows you guys as the Rory Story Cubes people. And so that this obviously is going to represent a little bit of a change, but it's not the first product that has been published under the Creativity Hub. There's this really cool thing that you guys are doing called the Extraordinaires and the Extraordinaires Design Studio. We have a copy of the Design Studio that we've used with our kids, and we've actually brought to our kids' school. Yep. But I would love it if you would talk a little bit about what the Design Studio is, what it's really intended for, and how that really helps in a much more organic way than I think a game that you bring to the table and play it. I think Extraordinaires really has this incredible, these incredible legs to it that come out into the real world. So just talk about that for a minute.
So myself and Annie had a joke and kind of called the Extraordinaires Design Studio our difficult second album. Because it was kind of really hard following on the heels of Rory's Story Cubes. The Extraordinaires Design Studio is essentially a activity game kit where players are put into roles of designers or inventors, but they have no ordinary clients or customers. Their customers are going to be like a superhero, a ninja, a time traveler, a giant, and they're looking for you to design everyday objects. So really the game, through playing with the Extraordinaires, what you're doing is effectively developing a design thinking mindset. So that positive, optimistic outlook to tackling problems in the world, but doing so in an empathetic manner so that you're not just telling other people what the solutions should be, but you're really being curious and saying what's needed out in the world. And we just do this, we take game-like elements and we kind of mix it with an activity and just package it up into something, again, that a child can play or a professional who works within the design industry can play as their own kind of creative workout.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about Extraordinaires is that you've got kind of research cards that really push whoever it is to ask questions, to really think about things in a constructive and a systematic way to make sure that the solutions that they draw out of something are not things that are based on their preconceived notions, but on the answers to the questions from the perspective of the customer.
Well, that's kind of about being curious. You know, we say a good designer always asks lots of questions. And when we're talking to, you know, children about playing the Extraordinaires, we say this is the one time where it's okay to ask lots of questions, you know, because they're kind of being used to being told, you know, stop asking questions. So, but a good designer should always be really curious and challenge their assumptions. And so the questions we included in the Extraordinaires were ones that, yes, a designer would use, but we kind of hoped that by playing the game, children would kind of internalize that thought process and bring it out into the world. Because, so this kind of goes back to kind of the origins of the Creativity Hub and what we're all about. We started off as a creativity training company, you know, and really it was myself and Anita, and we were trying to help people realize they're smarter and more creative than they are and become kind of their own change agents or change makers in the world. So Rory Storycube started as that. It was a creative thinking tool that just happened to take off as a kind of popular game. But at its core, it was about helping people to think differently. And likewise with The Extraordinaires, again, it was a playful way to get people to think differently and use the principles of, you know, design and design thinking to have fun, but kind of, you know, hopefully, embody that thinking and bring it out into the world, because the way we say it is the world is a crazy and chaotic place and the current, you know, answers we have aren't working. So we need people to be able to think differently and approach our current problems in a new way. And the Extraordinaires Design Studio is kind of our contribution to that.
Mm-hmm. So Extraordinaires is available. I've seen it at Barnes & Noble. I think the one that we ordered, I ordered off of Amazon. So it's widely available. It's definitely something to check out. You also mentioned Rory Story Cubes. For anybody who somehow has not heard of Rory Story Cubes, and we actually...
Well, for one thing, you haven't been listening to our podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We actually have Rory Story Cubes as one of our number one restaurant games. We love to bring to restaurants and play with the kids while we're waiting for food because it's an easy cleanup. But for those few people who might actually not know what it is, talk about what Rory Story Cubes is and kind of, I guess, well, you said it came from this this idea to engender creativity. But talk about that for a little bit.
So as far as most people are concerned, Rory Story Cubes is made up of 9 dice, with each side has a unique icon or image on it. And the purpose of the game stroke activity is to roll the cubes and make a story that begins with once upon a time and has to somehow link together all 9 face-up images. That's the bare bones of it. Every time we tried to add rules or win conditions or anything, it always detracted from the heart of the experience, which was just telling these totally random stories. What has been amazing is to see how people have taken this and then layer their own creativity onto it. So, you know, we've got illustrators who are creating comics based on it, novelists who are writing books, musicians composing music, games masters who are using it to create characters and adventures for their stories. We've got a 95-year-old in a care home using it as a way, an icebreaker for people who come into the care home. We've people who are aid workers traveling around the world, bring it with them, again, as an icebreaker, working with people who speak completely different languages.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And so it started as essentially 9 dice, and over time, we introduced new sets. So we kind of introduced actions and then voyages, which was like our, I kind of described it as our Indiana Jones set. It's those kind of like over-the-top adventures.
Sure.
And then we realized it only takes a few cubes or icons to change the story. So instead of bringing out 9 cube sets, we shifted to bringing out 3 cube mix sets that all focus on a different theme. So it would allow us to cover as broad a range as possible in the fastest way possible, because we're constantly getting requests for different theme sets. So we're kind of at the point now where we've got 1 year left of mix sets. And we have basically produced all the ones that I had intended to create. And what's really neat with this is we designed them so that they can actually combine into their own unique 9 cube sets. So it's kind of like finishing the series. We've got 9 sets of story cubes, each with 9 dice in it. so that I feel like I can kind of drop the mic and walk away at that point.
Yeah, I get, you know, I was doing the math in my head, 9 cubes in a set, 6 sides, that's 54 illustrations for this little tiny, like, whatever, $8 or $10 set or whatever the MSRP is on those things. So that's a lot of work from Rory.
Oh, man. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Like, I feel like a sculptor because of the restrictions of the molding process. you know, the line width that we have to use in the dice, how much detail we can put in, is really restrained. So we have to be as creative as possible within that limited space. And we've pushed the factory kind of to breaking point quite often to to create these. But I do consider them, like, I feel like I'm kind of carving out lines, you know, that are going to depict these little pieces of art. And that's how we always talk about it to the factories, where they're used to dice being a component within a game. And we're saying this is the game, so these have to look as beautiful as possible. And we're kind of been really lucky with the factories that we work with and the quality we've achieved with the dice. I think we've hit kind of created a pretty high standard for what people can expect.
I would agree. We have in our personal collection, we have some other games that are where the dice are the main component, and they're they definitely have not been manufactured as crisply and cleanly as the story cubes have. And so that's something we definitely appreciate from it. On top of your nine sets of nine, you've also done several licensed theme dice at this point as well, right?
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. I mean, as soon as we started making story cubes, we kind of had ideas for, you know, wouldn't it be cool to see a particular theme or genre covered by or story cubes? And it kind of really came to a head when I was actually in Walmart a couple of years ago with myself and Anita, and we were standing in the aisle. And, I mean, you have to understand our perspective with Rory Story Cubes is we're trying to reach as many people with this game because we see the power of what happens when people sit down together and, you know, share stories with each other. So we're standing in the aisle and saying, you know what, the kids coming in here with their parents, they're not going to be looking for, like, a creative game to play. And we kind of said, look, we need a Trojan horse. We need some other way to kind of like trick people into telling stories. And we realized it was time to really think seriously about the idea of kind of themed or licensed sets. So, you know, the idea is if they played with, you know, Rory Story Cubes Batman, they know Batman, Joker, all the characters, they've read the comics, they've watched the movies, they've seen the cartoons. So they can kind of bring all this knowledge to bear when they see an icon. And so that was kind of really our plan, is we wanted to cover different theme sets that would invite people in. So our choices are kind of based on, you know, Batman is known and loved by multiple generations. Moomin is, you guys may or may not know Moomin. It's a Finnish, story. It's been going since the 40s. I just love it. that was my reason. they approached me and said, you know, would you be interested in doing a Moomin set? I just went, yes. It's fine.
Done.
Yeah, of course.
And then with Doctor Who, it was a case of having grown up watching Doctor Who and seeing the icons and seeing how our game was creating stories set across time and space and dimensions, we thought it'd be really neat if you just linked.
Seems like a perfect fit.
Well, essentially, we'd created all the expansion sets for Doctor Who, you know, so. And it would allow you to tell the stories that they never told because they were restricted by budget or whatever. So one of the things I actually snuck into the Doctor Who set was a samurai helmet because they have never been to Japan in any of their stories. So I was like, I'm going to help people, you know, either set a story in Japan or that these could be like cyborg samurai robots because the mask does look pretty scary. You know, so each set is a labor of love. Adventure Time, which is coming this year, kind of broke our rules for the multi-generational concept of people sitting together. But our joke was Adventure Time kind of looks like it was written using Rory Story Cubes. You know, it's just so nuts and totally random.
Random, yeah.
And so for us, it was an opportunity. Again, we thought there's such a great link between Story Cubes and Adventure Time that and Cartoon Network and Turner, they really celebrate fan fic and fan creation created artwork. So it seemed like a natural fit for us to kind of create a set around that.
Neat.
So samurai, your move, BBC.
Yeah, I hope they don't come after me.
So unbeknownst to us, when we scheduled this time to get together and chat, you had some big news yesterday.
Yes.
So I'll let you go with that.
So as of kind of when it came out Tuesday, suddenly Anita had basically, after much consideration, decided to sell Rory Story cubes to a French company, Asmodee. You might know, maybe some of your listeners might know Asmodee North America. But in fact, Asmodee France is like the parent company, and there's like an Asmodee Germany, Benelux, Spain, Italy. So they've branches kind of all over the world. But yeah, so that kind of came about because I knew I was hitting the end of, you know, my plans for Rory Story Cubes in terms of the set. And essentially, you know, we had started as a husband and wife team, and we just wanted to bring this idea out into the world, you know, and feed our kids, because we did all this while we had three very young children. Mm-hmm. And so as the game grew, it kind of became all consuming. You know, we were spending time talking to distributors. I mean, we've met some amazing people as part of this, you know, overseeing some of the marketing, developing a team here, dealing with things when they don't go the way you thought. And we kind of got to a point where we weren't really being creative as much anymore. We kind of felt like we were more managers of a company. And, you know, we kind of see ourselves as rebels. We'd never, you know, we always collaborated and worked together. And so we decided kind of really, we felt StoryCubes was at a point that didn't really need us anymore. But we still knew, like, there's millions of people in the world who've never heard of Rory Story Cubes, and, mm-hmm. you know, they still get excited when they hear about it. So we kind of thought there's people who are better placed to look after something that's as big as Rory Story Cubes, and really it's not us. We could actually end up destroying it if we weren't careful. So that was kind of the aha moment. And so we looked around, you know, different companies who we thought would really respect the brand and help us take it forward, so that when I'm a grandparent and I'm looking on the store shelf, I can with pride say, you know, your grandmother and I kind of, you know, developed this game together. And really, Asmodee were the absolute best fit. We work with, I think, like 25 or more distributors around the world. And that's like outside of GameRight in the US, where we licensed the game. So they did an amazing job in the US, but we actually then also built all these relationships around the world. And by working with Asmodee, it actually secured the future for most of them. And so that was an important thing for us, was that it wasn't just about us. It was also about all these people who had helped bring StoryCubes out into the world. And by working with Asmodee, it kind of guaranteed that. So, you know, that aspect of it, alongside with them wanting us to stay involved over the next couple of years, and really ensure the brand is transferred with integrity, because they're used to us being real sticklers. You know, out of everyone we spoke to, they've had to put up with us for the last 3 years, you know, we're telling them, no, you can't do that, and it should be like this, and this is how you demo the game. So we kind of knew it wouldn't be a struggle, that they kind of knew how it needed to be done. So we're kind of really excited that it takes a weight off us, but also I think it's going to give StoryCubes a real opportunity to become like a timeless classic. And, you know, that would be so awesome for us to see.
It's kind of like sending a fourth kid off to college, huh?
Yeah, but I can't ever say that to my children, because they'd be like, you love Rory StoryCubes more than you love us.
You'll never believe what this guy said.
I guess moving on from StoryCubes and the Asmodee partnership. So we'll get back to your newest project, Untold. It's on Kickstarter right now. And it uses the StoryCubes as part of the mechanics for how the game works, right?
Yes. So, like with Rory StoryCubes, it's a great way to spark your imagination and tell stories, and it can be totally freewheeling and totally random.
And often is in our family.
Yes. But what I kind of really wanted to try and create something that, you know, especially when I started thinking about this, I was at home with the kids and I really wanted to get back into role-playing games, but I just couldn't bear the thought of, you know, having to prep, reading all the manuals and doing all of these things. So I kind of wanted something ideally I could play, you know, quickly, but would give me that sense of going on a journey, seeing like making decisions that mattered, and having a character who actually grew over time as well. And while I was kind of Googling online for things, I met this guy, John Fury, who had published something called the 9 Qs. And it was basically a set of 9 questions that he used with Roy's Story Cubes to act as a kind of GM, so that he could play with his favorite kind of role-playing book or system in a way that was systemless, where he didn't need a GM with it. So I got talking to him and said, kind of told him my vision, which was like, I want to share the love that of kind of telling stories, you know, sitting around the table, telling stories with a bunch of friends. But I want it so that a family can do it, you know, that it's not hidden in, you know, the arcane tome of all the manuals and all of these things. It doesn't need a whole load of setup. And really, Anita was kind of my role model in this respect, because Anita has no tolerance for wasting time on stuff. So it was always like, you know, what could I design that Anita would sit down and play? And so that's kind of how we developed this framework. We wanted, like, what's the quintessential elements of it, of telling a story that will provide enough of a framework for a family to have an adventure, make those choices, and kind of come out at the end of it and say, I want to do that again. And when I talk about it, I keep referring to, like, do you remember the 80s TV shows where you kind of knew everything was going to turn out right, but it was like, what on earth is going to happen from the opening scene to the ending one? And you know it's all going to get wrapped up in those kind of 45 to 60 minutes. So that was always our goal of what it was that we worked towards. And we've spent 2 years working on all kinds of iterations and variations. And we're now at the point where, you know, the game is on Kickstarter because it's quite different and it's not your stereotypical game. So we kind of really wanted to see, does anyone want to play this in the first place? But it's been great because with the feedback, we're really fine tuning with what for me is one of the most important things is the kind of usability of the experience, because as gamers, or if you play role-playing games, there's a lot of assumptions that are made about, you know, how things are done, like rolling dice to resolve things. You create your character first. And any attempt I've seen at creating a family-friendly role-playing game kind of carries these through. So my kind of goal was to kind of create something that kind of, to some extent, annoyed role-players. Because I kind of felt if I did that, then I was doing something different. And I felt if we're going to reach a wider audience and bring them into role-playing and storytelling, we need to do something radically different with it. And I'm not very good at blowing my own trumpet, but, I mean, just seeing the reaction from people playing this and the stories they're telling and coming out with that feeling of, I want to go in again. I want to tell the next episode. I'm pretty confident we've got something special here, that when you marry the framework that kind of John developed with the Rory Story Cubes, it's a really powerful combination where when you sit down to play, there's no prep involved and you literally don't know where you're going to go and you don't know the story that's going to unfold, but you do know it's going to be a roller coaster ride from the moment you sit down to when the game ends 60 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fantastic. And as someone who also has no patience with a lot of setup, especially for a game with
me.
My kids, it sounds really fantastic.
Well, I think I designed it with you in mind as well.
So Untold's on Kickstarter right now. What's the end date on the Kickstarter?
The end date is, I think it's the 8th of June. I think we've got 12, 13 days to go. We have funded, and really we're at the point now where we're pushing for, you know, stretch goals and, you know, upgrading the quality of things along the way. You know, for people who are new to Story Cubes, it's an amazing way to get involved because the saving you make, first of all, on the game is great. If you back it now, you'll actually get a copy of Roy Story Cubes Batman thrown in as a stretch goal.
Which we love.
And also we're shipping, you can order all the sets, whatever combination you want as well, and we'll ship them together with your order. So, and a lot of these aren't even available in the US yet. So for the person who's the completionist, you can get pretty much everything that's available through the Kickstarter. So it's a kind of great way to get started.
And I think I saw, and just correct me if I'm wrong, it's £20, which for the base game, which is $26 American, roughly, more or less,
more or
something
less.
Along those
yeah,
lines.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
It'll be retailing probably for $30. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're making a saving on it of, you know, I'd say roughly £5. So, but it's, sure, you know, yeah, about $8, I think.
Right. And then, there's a bunch of different sort of backer tiers where you can say, get Untold with this set or get Untold with that set. And we're probably going to get Untold with the Doctor Who set, which we don't have yet.
Yes.
You know,
so this is one of the things where the game really shines is when you mix Untold with one of the kind of licensed sets like Doctor Who, you can tell adventures where you're the Doctor or your companion or someone else who just lives in the Doctor Who universe. And this game will allow you to create your own episodes within it. So we saw that really powerfully. Like Scooby-Doo is amazing to play with this as well. And
sure,
like Looney Tunes. So
Madcap.
Yeah. So we tried to set up the kind of backer tiers in such a way where people could jump right in, that if they like Scooby-Doo, they can get that combination together. If they like Batman, they can start by that combination so they can start telling story 7 Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fantastic. I think our kids will be super excited to play this.
I think
so.
I think one of the things we haven't quite conveyed yet in the Kickstarter is just the level of design, like, and the visual aesthetic, because a lot of what we've put onto Kickstarter is the prototype of the game. We really wanted people to experience the game, and we kind of took away some of the design layer to kind of keep that a bit secret and reveal it. So I'm kind of seeing the work that's going on here in the studio at the moment. And, you know, the guys were kind of joking with me saying, you know, we maintain a pretty high standard when it comes to design, and everyone's doing their utmost to kind of retain what we've established with Roy Story Cubes and carry it through to Untold. And it's, I think when you see the board, you'll love it, because we're trying to capture all kinds of different tropes and themes from movies and stories, so that the board itself becomes a source of inspiration for your adventure in a very subtle way.
Right. So what we'll do is we'll put a custom link on the familygamers.com. So it's going to be familygamers.com/UntoldKS.
Okay.
And that'll bring you directly to the Untold Kickstarter page, where you can go and click the support at whatever tier you'd like to. Thanks so much for coming on and chatting with us about everything Creativity Hub, and especially Untold. You guys, everything you guys have ever made has been wonderful, and we've had a really great time with both Extraordinaires and with Rory Story Cubes, and we evangelize them on the regular. And our next giveaway, which is going to start next week, is actually going to be giving away a set of Rory Story Cubes. So, everybody should stay tuned to familygamers.com for that.
Yes.
Thanks. Can I enter?
I think there's four people who can't. It's you, me, Anitra, and Anita.
Yeah.
I think we're off the table.
Okay.
But thanks again, Rory, for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm sure so many people have learned so much from this.
Well,
so
I'm so grateful. And you score brownie points for knowing the Extraordinaires Design Studio, because it's funny, because it's a game that's existed in a completely different sphere where people love the Extraordinaires, but they're quite often not people who are moving in the same space that know Rory Story Cubes. So it's kind of, you're one of these special ones who actually crosses the divide.
Oh, we're special, all right. our daughter has transitioned from being STEM friendly to design friendly, largely because of Extraordinaires. She comes home and just sits at the counter and pulls it out and designs things on the regular. So,
see, I think this is actually an important thing, is design. We're not trying to create like future designers, but the way of thinking is really useful mental model for anybody to have in life. So we always kind of,
definitely.
You know, we don't bang the table and say, you should do design. But we do say, you know what, whether you go into banking or, you know, hospice care or you're a stay-at-home parent, the things you learn when you think about design and study design are really useful, just as a problem-solving tool, no matter where you end up. And I think that's why it's useful and important. And that's kind of why, you know, we keep kind of championing the Extraordinaires as a tool, because we think it's a great way to introduce that concept of design and design thinking to a wide audience.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that whole waterproof thing earlier, and we both went to a technical school that has a free you know, day that kids can come and see robots and stuff like that. And a lot of those conversations are actually very similar, where it's, okay, if you were to design a robot to do something, what would it look like? Every single child says it looks like a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But almost so many cases are such that, well, you really don't actually want a biped. That's a terrible design.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult to change that thinking.
An obvious one being like the Mars rover.
Sure.
You don't want something that looks anything like a human.
It's going to look like a tourist.
Yeah.
So I think that you know, creativity design teaching is so powerful and so useful. And it doesn't have to be to the exclusion of technology.
No.
Right? So they definitely work well together.
Yeah.
So the Kickstarter is for Untold by the Creativity Hub. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/UntoldKS. To check it out. There's some videos on there. I highly recommend you go. It's really, really great.
I'm convinced now.
All right. Win. All right. Thanks. Thank you so much, Rory, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Rory, for coming on our show.
It's been a real pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.